Good morning and welcome to EMP. Today's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 20. And it says, "After I arrived in Jerusalem and had been there 3 days," this is Nehemiah speaking, "I got up at night and took a few men with me. I didn't tell anyone what my God had laid on my heart to do for Jerusalem. The only animal I took was the one I was riding. I went out at night through the valley gate towards the serpent's well and the dung gate. And I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. I went on to the fountain gate and the king's pool. But farther down it became too narrow for my animal to go through. So I went up at night by way of the valley and inspected the wall. Then heading back, I entered through the valley gate and returned. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, for I had not yet told the Jews, priests, nobles, officials, or the rest of those who would be doing the work. So I said to them, 'You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruin and its gates have been burned. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we will no longer be a disgrace.' I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king had said to me. They said, 'Let's start rebuilding.' And their hands were strengthened to do this good work. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they mocked and despised us and said, 'What is this you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?' I gave them this reply: 'The God of the heavens is the one who will grant us success. We, his servants, will start building, but you have no share, right, or historic claim in Jerusalem.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will speak to us through your word as well, as you strengthen us and encourage us through the life of Nehemiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I've been speaking and sharing about the story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem that then sets that we have here is the story of here Nehemiah, that he finally has arrived to the place of Jerusalem. And he said that he took a few men with him, and it says that he didn't tell anyone what God had laid on my heart to do for Jerusalem, which is interesting that he kind of kept it to himself for the first part. And there's something about this. Even in verse 16, it said, even the officials didn't know where I had gone or what I was doing. And so there's a discretion here that for some reason Nehemiah chooses to go with. And there's a few verses in Proverbs that I think are a great wisdom in terms of discretion. One of them in Proverbs 5:2, it says that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Verses 2:11, discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you. And I think there's something to be said about discretion in our lives. I know that's something I definitely struggle with. I think sometimes I get too excited, or that I overshare. I was like, oh, I just met that person. Maybe I shouldn't have shared that much. Or sometimes someone tells you something, right? And they're like, "Hey, can you keep this a secret?" And you're like, "Yeah, for sure." And then you're like, "Oh, I want to share with this person." Or someone asks you a question and they're like, "Oh, I know something, but I shouldn't tell you. But hey, I'm going to tell you anyway." You know, that's what discretion is having discretion is knowing, is having the understanding and the knowledge to discern, not being able to reveal or being able to reveal. And so here Nehemiah, for whatever reason, he says he didn't tell anyone what God had laid on my heart. You could almost see it as maybe using the story of Joseph, for example, that has a dream of everyone bowing before him. And he goes and shares that dream with all his brothers. And what happens? It creates and stirs jealousy in his brother's heart, in their brother's hearts. And so I think there's something to be said of practicing discretion in our lives, of knowing when to speak, of knowing when to share, and knowing when to reveal, and knowing when not to say anything at all until the time is right. And so here Nehemiah says, I didn't tell anyone what God had laid on my heart to do for Jerusalem. So we see Nehemiah practicing discretion. The next thing that Nehemiah does upon his arrival is he takes the next few days, and it says that he inspected the walls of Jerusalem that had been broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. And it says that by night he went by the way of the valley and inspected the wall. And I think there's something to be said about that Nehemiah is going first by himself with a few others, and he's looking carefully and he's looking very closely and very critically at the work that needs to be done. And I think that speaks of maybe Nehemiah's character and personality, that he's trying to understand what is the work at hand here. And I think there's something to be said about that wisdom that is there. Even Jesus says that count the cost. And here Nehemiah is inspecting the walls. He's looking at the work carefully and closely and critically of the work that needs to be done. And so he does that, and it takes a few days. And then eventually he has then the encounter with those, the Jews, the priests, the nobles, officials, and it says those, the rest of those who would be doing the work. And so he says to them, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned. Come, let us rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we may no longer be a disgrace. And so I think there's something to be said about this little speech here where Nehemiah says, you see the trouble we are in. I think Nehemiah here doesn't come in as in, because in some way, essentially, he is an outsider as someone that hasn't been living in Jerusalem. He's been living outside of that. But he is a Jew himself. And so he doesn't show up to the place and say, you see the trouble that you guys in? I'm here to help you guys. I'm here to save you. No, he comes in saying, hey, you see the trouble that we are in. And so he identifies with the people that are there. And then he identifies what the problem is, that Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned. Now, I don't think he's stating something that is not the obvious here. I think the people that are living there would be like, thank you. We know that, Captain Obvious, for telling us what we already know. We live here. We know the gates have been burned down. It's actually been that way for years. You're not pointing out anything new. And I think there's something to be said about when God sometimes brings someone from the outside, because I think sometimes I think it's easy to normalize things when you live in the place, that things just kind of become normal to you. I can't think of an example. I think, like, let's say, for example, when I came to Hong Kong, and I saw like goose hanging on the, and the restaurants, it took me a while for that to become normal to me. But for other people, I'd be like, yo, there's goose on the wall. They'd like be like, yeah, that's in every restaurant here. That's everywhere. I was like, no way. Now that's a normal thing for me. Even with certain things that you could even think about in terms of issues, that things just become normal in terms of that. And so here in Nehemiah states what is happening and the state that they are in. And then he says, come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's wall so that we will no longer be in disgrace. And I think there's a few things that are happening here as Nehemiah is speaking here that I think we could learn for our lives. Is one, in terms of naming the problem, he's not just saying, hey, you guys have a problem here. Is as he's identifying himself with everyone that is there, that, hey, there's a trouble that we are in here. And then he I think what he's doing is creating a sense of urgency of, hey, the Jerusalem walls here lie in ruin and they have been destroyed. And I think he also speaks to something that is within the people of Jerusalem anyway, that they're most likely feeling, yeah, they probably have the longing themselves that the walls would be rebuilt, that the gates would be rebuilt. And he's probably also identifying with the way that people feel, that they do feel a sense of disgrace for the way things have been in terms of Jerusalem, in terms of the stories that they probably would have, must have heard, as well as hearing the stories of David and how the temple and everything, how everything used to be. And so he's identifying with here with the way of what their desire is in terms of seeing the walls rebuilt. He's identifying with how they must be feeling as well internally, in terms of them feeling a sense of disgrace, of having a sense of shame. And then he just begins to share with them how God's gracious hand has been on him, how God has been really showing him favor. And so we see the favor of God along with the favor of man as well, because he shares what the king has said to me as well. So almost in some way, you could say he's building credibility as to, hey, listen to me. This is, he doesn't say, hey, this is what God said to me, do it. But he's almost, you could say, trying to inspire them and to move them, you know. Sometimes the hardest, I think, as leaders, or even if you're leading someone, one of the hardest things and demoralizing thing you could sometimes tell someone is just say, hey, God told me, do it. And even though maybe as leaders we feel that that's the best way to go about it, I don't need to explain myself, I don't need to do anything. But here Nehemiah almost doesn't, he goes about it a different way. He could have just said, hey, God has laid this on my heart, do it. But no, he goes and he walks, he inspects, he talks to the people, and he moves them and inspires them and motivates them, versus just do it because I said it, versus let me inspire you to move with me. And what does that create among the people? Is this amazing response. They said, let's start rebuilding, and their hands were strengthened to do this good work. And I think there's something incredible about that, that their response then just flows with what God is already doing and moving in the heart of Nehemiah, to then their response of, let's start rebuilding, and their hands were strengthened to do this good work. And so they're united and they start rebuilding, and their hands are strengthened to do this good work. And then in verse 19, we see from the previous verses that there were those that it didn't, not everyone was too happy about this, that there were those that were displeased. But that displeasement takes on to a different form. And now they're mocking us and they despise us, and said, what are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king? And Nehemiah's response is, the God of heaven is the one who will grant us success. We, his servants, will start building, but you have no share, right, or historic claim in Jerusalem. Essentially, Nehemiah is just saying, God is with us and he will grant us success. But I think there's something to be said about being mocked and despised when we're pursuing that something that maybe God has laid upon our hearts to do. That I think as Christians, we have to think that we're exempt from suffering, or from doing hard work sometimes in our lives, or from anything coming against us. And here we see that there are those that are displeased and there are those that mock them and despise them. And I think whenever we're doing anything in our lives, that we have to realize as well that there will always be people that will be naysayers in our lives. There will always be people that will either mock us, especially if you're trying to do something new or something different. There will be people that will always say, let's say, for example, you tell your, like, there's something happening in your family, and you say, you know, I believe that God's going to rebuild my family. And they're like, dude, they're like, that's not going to happen. It's like, let it go. Or whatever it may be, you say, like, this is what I feel God is wants to do in my life, and so forth. But there are going to be those that just aren't for you. There might be people in your life that just aren't for you. And guess what? That's okay as well. I would say focus less on those that are not for you and focus on those that are with you instead. Because those are the ones that are instead with you, building and rebuilding, versus those that are just trying to bring you down and tear you down along the way. And so with that, just ending with verse 20 as we go into a time of worship, is Nehemiah's response: the God of heaven is the one who will grant us success. Is knowing that God is with you, that God is alongside with you, He is for you, He has gone before you. And so you may have people mocking you and despising you, but who cares, as long as you know that God is with you and He is the one that grants you success. And so as we go into a time of prayer, maybe there's something that has spoken to you from this passage. Maybe like me, you're like, oh man, discretion is something I need to practice a bit more in my life, of knowing when to share, of knowing who to share with, knowing the timing and the moments of when to reveal, or maybe of knowing when not to say anything at all and just learning to keep my mouth shut. Because I like that verse in Proverbs that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. That discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. And so sometimes it is wise to practice discretion in not saying anything at all until the right season. Or maybe for some of us, God has called us to a place, or God is rebuilding something in our lives, and there's something about taking the time to just inspect and to look carefully and to look closely at the work that needs to be done. Or perhaps maybe we lead others, and maybe we're used to a type of leadership or a type of way of doing things. I said it, let's do it, and that's it. But maybe there's something to be said about leadership that is inspiring, that motivates and moves others, that their natural response is just to say, let's rebuild, that we're with you and we're doing this together. And so, Father, we thank you for this time that you speak to our hearts, that you would guard our lips, that you would guard us against not having discretion in our lives, that you would give us the wisdom to inspect and to look carefully at the work that you have called us to do, to slow down and to take the time to do that without just jumping headlessly and just going without knowing or understanding as well as what is the cost of the work that is before us. And that you would inspire us as leaders, whether that be amongst our friends or amongst our families, whether we're parents or whether it be in the workplace, that we would be inspiring to others, that we would identify with what the trouble is, what the problem is, and identify with what people might be feeling so that we can be inspiring to others. And when others come against us and mock us, that we would continue and press forward, knowing that you are with us. So, Father, during this time of worship, just remind us that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to serve you. I want to see you. Open the eyes.
Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives, for the rebuilding that you're doing in our lives, that each of us are being rebuilt to be more like you, Jesus. And so, Father, I just pray that work that you began in us, you will bring into completion. And I would just pray against not just the outside voices that would mock us or despise us, but sometimes we're our own worst enemy as well for the things that we speak and that we say against ourselves, that sometimes in some way we mock and despise our own selves and discourage ourselves from the work that you're doing in our lives. And so, Father, I just pray for a renewing of our minds and our thoughts, that if we're our biggest discourager and the one that we're mocking ourselves and despising ourselves, that you would renew our thoughts and that we would see ourselves in light of how you see us. And so, Father, we thank you that the greatest rebuilding project is just each and every human being becoming more like you, Jesus. That we would not be discouraged, but that we would press on in our lives. So, Father, we thank you, knowing that you are with us and that you walk with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's move into a time of prayer, community prayer, and come to the front.